And welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week brings back Cass's Indie Spotlight. We'll talk a bit more about that here in a bit, because there's no fusion anymore. Fusion is forbidden, so we are prepping ourselves for Super Fight and the special unnamed BN Sports / YouTube special that's coming in a couple of weeks. But first, let's talk about the news. We have two quasi-non-match related bits of news this week. First of which is that there was a standoff between MLW Heavyweight Champion Alex Kane and number one contender and challenger at Super Fight, Satoshi Kojima. Kojima was doing a presser in, well, a stairwell of all places when he was confronted by Kane. Luckily, the power of bread warded off the evil interloper, because Bread Club is everyone. You, me, that bag of bread Kojima is carrying as well. So we will see them battle for the title this here Saturday, and one can only hope that bread will reign supreme. In other news, Selena De La Renta and her promotionist Dorado were spotted in Boyle Heights across from a certain warehouse where her little compatriots were dragging out a masked body that Selena promptly screamed at that he will give her all the answers that she wants. So it's really looking like Juan Cesar Duran is making his return to the company. He was previously based out of Boyle Heights before everything went south over there many, many moons ago, before the name change and before, well, at one point his death. But yeah, so more and more hints are being dropped. Maybe we'll find out more at Super Fight. Maybe we'll find out more at the Name to Be in Sports / YouTube special. Only one way to find out, and that is to keep watching. Speaking of Super Fight, that is this coming weekend, February 3rd, I believe 7 p.m., live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the ECW Arena, so the 2300 Arena, a.k.a. We have four matches being announced for the tapings that are surrounding Super Fight, the BN Sports / YouTube special that is currently unnamed, because I haven't said that enough times this time around. First of which is Fatal 4-Way Featherweight Action. Got through that on one take, believe it or not, as Zeta, the Federette, battles Del Miexo, former MLW Featherweight Champion, the Notorious Mimi, and Tiara James. Whereas it'll be cool to see the Featherweights well represented within the card and the tapings, feel like we're spinning our wheels with a multi-person match, as we've seen, you know, a couple of them in the last, you know, set of weeks or so, last two taping cycles or so as well. But like, really, it's any person's game at this point. Specifically looking at Zeta and Delmi, as they are getting the most storyline push at this here moment. However, never count out Tiara James, who's being put over hardcore on the mic. We also have a special international showcase featuring Richard Holiday. We have not heard who his opponent will be yet. It's just an international flair to it, which, if I'm going to bet money, which I won't because I am terrible at these here games, Holiday will either take on a debuting El Locale or a returning Savio Vega. Those are my guesses, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe they'll just bring out Kim Chi for no good reason and say he's from Africa or whatever. But who knows? The important thing is Richard Holiday is back in action. Maybe he can right the ship from his last appearance in MLW, where he took the L against Alex Kane. It's also been announced that we will have trios action as Wasted Youth teams with Nolo Kitano, you know, rotating third member of whatever is going on with Wasted Youth, is going to take over the dastardly trio of Tony Deppen, Griffin McCoy, and TJ Crawford. So a quasi-rematch featuring five of the six. And then, of course, Nolo Kitano has actually had issues with this tandem of Deppen, McCoy, and Crawford as well in the past. I just kind of wish that they would do something besides trios matches with Wasted Youth, who are currently the number one contenders for the MLW Tag Team Championship. And last but not least, we have a Lumberjack and/or Jill match as Love Dog continues his feud with the notorious Brett Ryan Goslin. Thought we'd kind of finish things up with the Love is Blindfold match, but evidently I was incorrect on this assumption and the fact that they've not really interacted with each other since that point. But you know, what do I know? I'm just neckbeard with a microphone talking to my hot tub filled with pizza rolls. But never mind that, we have a card to fill out. So Super Fight is this weekend, this Saturday, once again, February 3rd. Fight TV Plus, aka Triller TV. Card is looking pretty sharp, actually. It's being headlined, of course, by Alex Kane defending the World Heavyweight Championship against former heavyweight champion Satoshi Kojima. We have a special Lucha Libre showcase from CMLL as Mystico takes on Averno. Hey, at least one of those folks was seen on AEW television this past week, so bully on that. Another international showcase, continuing the partnership with New Japan, is Yuji Nagata taking on Jacob Fatu. We also have Death Machine Rules as Akira battles Sami Callihan. A big ol' hoss fight with featuring the returning Davey Boy Smith Jr. Great to have him back on the roster, taking on the Second Gear Crew's one called Manders. And last but not least, a 2 out of 3 falls match for the MLW Middleweight Championship as Rocky Romero takes on Ichiban. And then, of course, rounding out the TV taping bouts is for the National Openweight Championship, Ohio represent as Ricky Shane Page takes on the debuting friend of the show, Jake Crist. Filthy Tom Lawler battles Second Gear Crew's Matthew Justice. And like that's it that we haven't announced today, so I'm not gonna bore you with the Fatal 4-Way and the blindfold and the Lumberjack match and all that sort of good stuff as well. So let's move along. Let's talk about independent wrestling, shall we? Despite all the big news going on elsewhere, the lifeblood of professional wrestling is always going to be the independents. And as per usual, as I've stated before, for those of you who haven't played along yet, with MLW taking a weekly hiatus, they're only doing bi-weekly shows now, every other week thereabouts. I've decided to continue giving back to the independent wrestling community, and this show is well, oh, the program I am reviewing, and I usually try to do television programs, but I found something I really wanted to, you know, shout out to. I really wanted to watch and bring to the world, so to speak. So be prepared as MLW Confusion is about to get bigger, gayer, and brunchier. We are going to take a look at Effie's Big Gay Brunch Number 8 out of Tampa, Florida, Royal Rumble weekend. So it'd been the last weekend, forget the date, 27th, I believe, of January. Someone can correct me in the comments, but it's the important thing is it's already happened. And if you want to play along at home, it is on Triller TV on Fight Plus. So if you have that, you can watch it as part of your subscription. But I've chose it despite it not being a television show because, one, I have been meaning to check out a Big Gay Brunch. I have not done so. Like, for whatever reason, I have brain farted and didn't realize I had access to it with my Triller account. And two, like, I'm a big fan of Effie and his work on the independents. And then this one in particular is taking place in Tampa, Florida, which I find to be pretty darn ballsy and impressive due to the political climate of Florida at this point, where you are not allowed to reference, well, you're not supposed to. They've introduced the bills and whatnot of, you know, don't say gay. Don't acknowledge trans people exist, etc. And I think it's, well, here, we're going to throw it out here. This episode is not for kids. I'm going to slap the E rating on this thing, so it is explicit because it is pretty fucking cool for Effie to run a Big Gay Brunch in Florida, sticking it to the conservatives, the maggots and whatnot, to bring his brand of entertainment to the crowd. And I'm not going to make this overtly political, but I just, you know, get some background in how thoroughly bitching this thing really is. So there's your warning, and I'll probably slap this on the title too, that like this is what we're gonna do. So if you're not into this thing, Go ahead and I guess skip this episode. You've made it in 10 minutes, so I'm going to get credit for it anyway. In the meanwhile, you know, MLW Confusion is a safe space. It is an ally. Yes, I have it easy, quote unquote, in life being a white cis male on here, but the important thing is like, this is a safe space, and I got a microphone to promote this here safe space as well. So if you kind of got a problem with that, I do suggest you scurry on. In the meanwhile, though, really, this podcast, despite being a safe space, is about professional wrestling. So let's talk. Let's go back to talking about professional wrestling, shall we? Pay-per-view event, Big Gay Brunch number 8. We are starting off with a quasi-host as the show, MLW personality, or excuse me, NWA personality, Pollo Del Mar, is rounding out our show, welcomes us to the program, talks about how they went to school, they grew up in the area about an hour and a half away, and, you know, fuck Ron DeSantis and the current political climate that is trying to dissuade and refusing to acknowledge the existence of the LGBTQ plus community. That being said, we're going to move along into our first match. It is Keita Murray taking on Noah Vale. I'm going to point out as before the bell even rings that Noah is over, and of course I totally dig the burlesque works too, but the drag style name of Noah Vale as well. I'm going to apologize to everyone. I'm not familiar with a batch of the people that are participating in the Big Gay Brunch, but that's the beauty of independent wrestling, being introduced to new wrestlers. So I will apologize in advance if I bugger up anybody's name, and I'm going to try to use neutral gendering on this here as well, just to, you know, try to be respectful. And if I fail, you know, feel free to correct me, because that is ultimately the best way for me to learn. But I'm learning a bunch of folks and learning what they're about at this show. So I do apologize in advance if I butcher names and whatnot. But so far, so back at the match itself, it looks to be a classic battle of the speed versus power. Murray being the speed, Novale being the speed, Murray being the power. Get a flying leg trip, followed up by a wet willy magistral cradle. I've never seen anything quite like that. It's a very unique way of getting into the magistral. Kicks send Murray to the floor, followed up by a plancha by Vale. Inside the ring, Murray takes over, working the limbs, but buggers up kind of a suicide dive outside, but hits enough of it. It's all good. Nick Gage is on commentary. Like, he pops in and out, which is freaking amazing. But like, he's at this point like needlessly violent. It's like, this is how you deal with a high flyer. You punch him in the face, you punch him in the eye. He just like goes on, and like, we're just sitting here in stunned silences. Nick is just on this violent sidebar, and it is great though. Back and forth action before Murray hits a tornado brainbuster, only gets two off that. Noah comes back with a sheer nui for two, follows it up with a meteora, only gets two for that as well. We have a big fight for Murray trying to hit a pile driver, does get to hit it, but it's too much time taken, and doesn't get a pinfall off of that. Actually, only gets a one count because he took so much time being hurt and crawling over. So I'm not quite so salty about the kick out at one. I mean, probably still should have been two, but, you know, whatever, man, at this point. We have a spirit battle. We are trading things back and forth. Bell claps and a knee strike for a Vale. Unfortunately, though, it is all for naught. Tombstone pile driver followed up by a front face lock lifted cutter. I don't know what else to call that. I'm sorry, but that gets the three. Keita Murray is your winner, and it was a solid opener for for the show. Nick Gage on commentary is great. He's a weird mixture of the character and like actual like you know 20-year veteran insights in there. I don't think he should quit his day job of deathmatch dude, but like he was thoroughly entertaining. And again, like I'm just going to point out that like how awesome of an ally of this event that you know Nick Gage is. Nick motherfucking Gage, yo. Next match is The Runway taking on The Creeps. I'm familiar with the work of The Runway. Creeps, not so much. Masha Slamovich is out for commentary for this match. The Creeps consists of Andy Ripley and Irving West, The Runway, Calvin Couture, and Tyler Klein, Mr. Design, if you will. It looks like we're going to start off with West and Klein. Klein wants to go for a hair pull, but Irving West is bald outside of a beard. Finally, though, we get like a beard pull out of it. West responds with a fistful of confetti that he rubs into Klein's face, and we're all thoroughly confused by that. But you know, whatever works, man. Get a double tag. Ripley is saving a horse, riding a cowboy, or well, at least riding. You know, a runway model theme of the night on that one. Get a low tidal wave out of the deal 4-2. West locks in a sleeper and starts hitting headbutts. This allows West to hit a hot tag. And I'm going to throw out there, like, I'm not sure I've ever seen a sleeper accented with headbutts to the back of the head. I thought that was very interesting. However, after this hot tag, the runway break up a pin at 2. Go for a top rope heart attack with the feet on the ropes. Only gets 2 off that by the runway. Pants down for the double hip attack. You could tell which person tans in the nude. I'll leave that one up. Yeah, I'll make you guys go watch it to figure out which one it is, though. No spoilers here for that. We're going to spoil everything else. No spoilers for that. However, both hip attacks miss. We get a double roll up as the key to victory for the Creeps. And outside of, like, I thought Andy Ripley was a little bit sluggish. Like, it was another fun match. A lot of shtick being involved. And this is something that you'll see throughout the show. Is like, we will alternate between, like, good, solid in-ring action and shtick. And so there's going to be a little bit of something for every kind of wrestling fan here. And this match obviously is heavy on the shtick. I was okay with it, though. Thought it was a lot of fun. Some innovative spots by the Creeps. And of course, I am a fan of the Runway and the brand. Yeah, the stylings of the Runway, the brand of professional wrestling that Couture and Klein bring my way. Following this, we get a hype video for our next match, which is going to be TNA star Jay Vidal taking on Rico Gonzalez. And this, I just right off the bat, I'm just going to tell you right now, probably the match of the night. Like, both guys in this here match showed up ready to go, and go they did. There is no respect from Jay into this, and we are just off to the racetrack off that one. He is run off in the ring. Jay sucker punched Rico in, or well, suckers Rico into the turnbuckle. Not really a punch in that thing, but that only fires Rico up. We get a swanton and a lion salt by Gonzalez for 2, followed up by a moonsault outside the ring. You don't see too many of those in a one-on-one match. Usually it's a batch of dudes outside or ready to catch you, but this is just one-on-one, baby, so he's taking in all the risks. We get a modified Finley apron spot, except Jay pulls the apron into the ring and then slides out through Gonzalez's legs and then literally just like pulls the rug out from under Rico. And that was another spot I thought was very interesting. I'm kind of surprised I've not seen that before. Again, kind of like almost a variation of some of the stuff Fit Finley used to do with the ring apron. But getting back at my notes, figure out where we are on that one. Get some more action outside of the ring, though. Inside, Jay takes over, hits a modified kneeling Tallulah Bella. It's a double arm DDT that floats over into a held pin, most notably used by Sinbodhi Kizarni himself. Tornado Brainbuster happens after numerous counters. Jay goes to the top rope, and we get a he lets everyone know that he's the top around here. So we got a chant for Jay's on top as he prepares for a double stomp. We get the Slaymore kick. 4-2. Then Rico follows it up with a crucifix bomb, also 2 count, and a double stomp on the ring apron rolls him into the ring. 4-2. Jay at this point is like dead to the world, which in theory I would say that's like a ref bias right there, because if the guy's dead and can't like get up on his own, like you should stop the match, like regardless of whether he can kick out of a pin or not. But he just plays dead. Does lead to a sucker pinfall attempt where trading pinfalls going back and forth. Jay hits, I guess you'd call it a Styles bomb, almost. Like, he's going up for, like, a crash landing Styles clash setup, but instead he just drops on his butt like it's a power bomb, which is also incredibly, like, 3 for 3 in, like, weird matches, moves that I've not seen before, and it's blowing my mind on this one. But it's crazy going nuts. We're all stunned that it was only a 2. Jay pulls out his pigtails, the hair is down, so we're getting serious. Goes for a power bomb, and Rico counters the power bomb with a Rana to get the flash victory out of nowhere. Dude. Two guys I'm not terribly familiar with just blown everybody else out of the water, and from like a pure wrestling standpoint, arguably the match of the night, or at least it is for me. Like, those dudes showed up to make a name for themselves. Like, I wasn't familiar with either of them, but I'm definitely making it a point to figure out who they are. Catch some TNA, because Jay Vidal's hanging out over there, but you know, catching some of their other work, because both guys impressed me mightily with this match. So, to maybe come down from it, let's go ahead and just take a quick pause for the cause, get yourself an energy drink, or however else you pass the time for the next 30 seconds as I try to pay the bills. I'll catch you all in one moment. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back, and it is a big gay scramble. I hate reporting as scrambles because, like, so much tends to happen in this, and there's going to be so much I miss just because the amount of people involved. But one of these things is not like the other. I'll let you kind of guess who, as Ron Bass Jr. takes on Caitlin Marie, takes on Soraya Sabre versus Sigrid, daughter of Tyre versus Con O'Kelly versus Josh Locke. We get somewhere in the process of getting all this stuff taken care of, we trying to figure out what makes this scramble like extra gay and not just a scramble. Nick Gage is back on commentary. He's all in for Broadway. Nick Gage from motherfucking Broadway. So if he's in New York and you are a member of the MDK crew, like, I guess you should go take him to a Broadway show he's never been and really wants to go. Anyway, we get a bell. Caitlin convinces everyone to attack Ron Bass, the biggest person in this here match, one at a time, instead of just attacking him en masse. So, like, everyone just kind of gets beaten down by Ron Bass because they only attacked him one at a time. Caitlin sexually harasses Bass, but he's into it. Not into the senton, though, that she gave him. That was drawing the line right there. Soraya is in, then Locke with the boots and a falcon arrow. I don't know how they got up from the falcon arrow. Sigrid is in. They're screaming. Some really stiff forearms in the corner. Con in and hits a bubble bomb. Ron is back in. Caitlin's back at twerking. Like, he's going to run in, and Caitlin stops him to twerk. And then it takes him to dick Kick City. Nick Gage is like the first to admit, like, dude, that would have distracted me too. But he probably would have taken the dick kick for it as well. Now, nothing wrong with that. Everyone's getting their shit in. Caitlin fakes out a suicide dive, but hits an apron cannonball. Then the ref displays his amount of bias by helping out Ron Bass hit a suicide dive, choked by Suicida, basically holding the ropes open so Bass's gut can clear the ropes proper. Hits a lariat, is broken up at two by Saraya. Saraya hits a running knee on Bass, and that, like, flash out of nowhere, takes the three count. Saraya Saber is your winner. We do get some respect between Saraya and Ron Bass. It just took him a minute to realize that, like, they were trying to, you know, extend the hand. He's mostly just cursing because he lost the match. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. That, again, it's your typical scramble. Everyone's coming in, getting their stuff in. Some fun spots, noting, like, Caitlin Marie really working up that, that she's sexy and taking advantage specifically of Ron Bass Jr. in the process, because he is the, at least for this match, the stereotypical red-blooded male. Fun match to be had overall, but it's kind of unfair to rate a scramble compared to, like, kind of a more straightforward match that we've had prior to this. Our next match is Billy Dixon taking on the debuting Maid Kira. Here is a match I've been looking forward to. For those of you that aren't aware, Maid Kira is deathmatch wrestler and former MLW middleweight champion Akira in a maid outfit, a pink maid outfit, pink wig, whole nine yards, man. And let me tell you something, brother. Kayfabe aside, unlocked a new kink in the wife. So, pray for Mojo on that one. Billy Dixon, the born again, I'm trying to think of the phrasing they used on it, because it was just like muttered on commentary, but born again virgin, I believe, is what he's being called. He is out like a bride. He's got a veil. His overalls are covered in white lace. Even throws the bouquet into the crowd. Maid Kira is a maid. They are cleaning. Also cleaning in pink Crocs, by the way. But hey, whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat. That is the important thing of the Big Gay Brunch, is everyone gets to be themselves on this one. Even people who wear Crocs. Anywho, so yeah, Maid Kira is cleaning up everybody's shoes. Finally, Dixon's just like, whatever, let's have a match. Slaps Maid Kira, and the gloves are literally off. Maid Kira pulls down the big, long white gloves that they were wearing, revealing his punching tape underneath, and just goes to town on Dixon. Go outside, cleaning solution is thrown in Dixon's eyes, and he gets the rough side of the Brillo pad on that one. Machine gun chops to the ass of Dixon. I don't think I've ever seen machine gun chops to anybody's behind before. But Dixon is into it. Evidently, he's a soft top, as they put over on commentary, into all that spanking and stuff. But once again, hey, whatever floats your boat, man. This is positivity zone, so hey, go with it. Big old slaps to the ass, followed by a big boot. A ring board is brought into the ring, so we are going to get hardcore. Bronco Buster hulks up Dixon, at least temporarily. Like, he's all in for it. He's shaking the ropes. He's ready to go, and falls flat on his face like he's Santino Marella. Somewhere in this process, though, it split his lip. Like, he's bleeding from the mouth at this point. Does come back with a bear hug slam and a big splash for two. Maid Kira starts chopping with the Crocs. We got some chonkla action going on. Double Croc for two, followed up by a bridging German suplex, also for two. However, Dixon comes back with a gory neck breaker, literally knocking the wig off of Maid Kira. I don't think I've ever actually seen a wig split like that before. But it happened. Maid Kira is powerless without their wig, though. Comes back, tries to do it with a Shining Wizard, only gets two off that. The wig is back on. Dixon, however, lands a big kiss, and Maid Kira is into it, but it's all a rouge, bro. Big spear into the ring board in the corner. 1, 2, 3. Your winner, Billy Dixon, and he is going to kiss and run. Dude, I think that's the biggest party foul of the match, really, is big old kiss and then just wandering off like it was nothing. Leave it to a man just to do that kind of shit, man. Bring the rest of us down. But yeah, other said, like, I don't have any real complaints. That was a fun match. I knew Maid Kira was coming into it, so it kind of excited me. Like, I'd known about some of the Maid Kira stuff that Akira had done, and I was really excited to see the Maid make their debut in a formal match. As long as you didn't have a problem with the shtick, like it was fun. I thought it was just fun in general. I'd never seen, as I said, never seen machine gun slaps to the ass before. So kudos for all the shtick and making it work by our competitors Dixon and Akira. Following this, we have our big meaty men slapping meat. They kept calling it like a bears match, and I'm not entirely like, don't get me wrong, I am not 100% on my gay culture, but I'm pretty sure one of the competitors, Karam, they called him Karma on commentary, and I know that wasn't right just by the spelling alone. I don't think he qualifies as a bear, but he's a big meaty dude, and he's taking on, and he has Pollo Del Mar with him, but he's taking on a bigger, meatier dude in the form of Pero. Pero, of course, is death. So we start off the party with some corner splashes going back and forth. Outside the ring, we got slaps, slapsing going on. Karam is thrown into the wall in a suplex on the bare floor. Nick Gage is all excited because he says he likes to take any opportunity he can to mess up the merch table. We go in the ring, and Karam hits two big clotheslines, followed up by a double down off a Well, awful clothesline as well. Followed up by dueling chair shots. Karam wins and hits a rock bottom on the chair. That looked gnarly. That's a big dude to be getting up. Pero, however, gets up and he gets a fallaway slammed through the board. And again, once again, I stress, Pero is a big dude. He's like 6'3", 300 pounds. He just got tossed over his head through a ring board. Pero, though, can't win a fair fight in this situation. He gets a low blow, follows up by wrapping a chain around his fist and just starts pounding Karam. Senton gets two. Karam makes a comeback, follows it up with a Baldo bomb through a stack of chairs, or two chairs specifically. Gets a two count off of that. Pero buckle bombs Karam into the corner where there was a chair placed up. Pollo Del Mar is distracting Pero on the top rope. Karam hits a big super play into a pile of chairs. They're comparing this to Mark Henry and Big Show. Didn't collapse the ring though, which I'm kind of surprised off of that. Pero, though, gets back on the offense and spears Karam and Pollo through the board. Follow this up by the Rikishi driver to get the win. However, Pero isn't done yet. He's got a plastic bag and he is intending to use it on poor Pollo Del Mar, stuffing her head in it and suffocating her until security runs in to break it up. And, like, dude. Compared to like some of the other matches that were either shticky or like relied a bit more on like high flying and technical wrestling, this was just the epitome of Big E's two meaty men slapping meat. Just two big dudes just beating the hell out of each other and then doing it with weapons on top of it. But just like the amount of strength both competitors had just to toss each other around like it was. And Pero just kind of going the extra mile for brutality to pick up the victory on that. So we come down off that match by watching a video featuring Dark Sheik. She puts over her opponent, Shay Monet, who's making at least their big gay brunch debut. I'm not sure whether they've competed in America before, but Sheik is curious to see. Like, it is an honor to be on the same show as Dark Sheik. It is definitely an honor to be in the ring with her, but she's really not certain if Monet is ready for that honor and deserves it. Only one way to find out, and that is our next match, as Shay Monet makes their big gay brunch debut against the Dark Sheik. Get a feeling out process. Sheik splits out of a hammerlock. Shay tries that, and it doesn't work. pulls the groin a little bit too much. Do you get a technical standoff as the two of them are trading arm drags and whatnot. Sheik, however, takes advantage with a question mark kick and mudhole stomps in the corner. Sheik almost hits a suicide dive out of the ring, kind of missed, but luckily camera covered part of that angle, so did get at least part of it. However, Shay spears Sheik on the floor, and then an Alabama slam onto the apron. Like, didn't catch all of it proper, didn't get the momentum you'd normally get off of an Alabama slam, but it's the ring apron. It is the hardest part of the ring, if no one's ever told you that. Inside the ring, Sheik takes over. Big power bomb for two. We get a splits spirit battle. We were trading strikes in the split position. Sit out spine buster by Shay only gets two. Sheik's diving leg drop, which commentary puts over, she didn't get all of, gets a two count as well. Monet catches Sheik coming off the top rope with a choke slam onto a open chair. Only gets two off of that. He kind of has a temper tantrum, which allows Sheik to get her bearings back and take over with a big kick and a sliced bread number two, only two of that. Shiranui, if you will. Shay counters that with a powerbomb axe kick combo. Only gets two off that. Gets a Johnny Cage punch for his efforts. For those of you not aware of the Mortal Kombat franchise, that is the splits. And then while you're in the splits, punching a dude in the dick. So we get another low blow here. Two matches in a row. Follows up with a big choke with Dark Sheik's sash wrapping around Shay's neck. Gets a quasi rope break, but gets turned into a back cracker. More choking. Shay didn't really act like they were losing any oxygen. Like, it was acting like it was just like a neck pain kind of thing, at least until like the last possible moment, until they did a big dramatic pass out, like reach to the sky, and then they're dead. Barring the theatrics of the ending, your winner is still the Dark Sheik. Interesting match to be had. I felt like this match just kind of fell victim to just the general hype and of the matches prior to this. And I'm not familiar with Shay's work. I've seen a bit of the Dark Sheik's work, and I know she's pretty darn good, actually. But like, we had the scramble, which was chaos. You had the big meaty man match. You had the match of the night with Gonzalez and Vidal. And so like, at some point you are going to have to come down. And I kind of felt like this was, for better or for worse, the come down match. I don't think there's anything like wrong with the match in and of itself. I think it was just where it was placed in the card. And almost at this point, like, no matter what you put in that spot in the card, it was going to be a letdown unless they really went cray cray with it, which, you know, we still have the rest of the show to go through. Like, we are maybe, almost like about halfway through the show overall. But like, yeah, no matter what, we're getting kind of, you got to take a breath in there somewhere. And I felt this was the match that it had to happen. Following this, our next match is Sawyer Wreck taking on Lindsay Snow, the Florida Ma'am. She's with Asia Fox, I believe they said. If the Fox didn't get a graphic, and so I was just reliant on house mic on that. Before the bell rings, we get the start of this match as Snow attacks Sawyer, spits champagne into Sawyer's mouth, and then just kind of like licks the dribble out of it. Yeah, so that's where we're going. This is the match we have right now. Florida Ma'am indeed. We fight outside. Sawyer swings away with chairs. They fight their way to the bar. We are having shots. We at least got one round in. Lindsay buys another round, but it's a swerve, bro. That drink is the ultimate party foul going into Sawyer Rex's face, allowing Fox to take over for a bit. Lindsay, however, misses a big set of candy bars. Dow. I guess that's where my mind is right now. A cannonball. Misses a cannonball. Takes out like three rows in the process, just throwing her body into the chairs. Fox and Snow inside the ring take turns kissing Wreck as a means of distraction before Snow hits a big chair shot to Wreck's back and then goes for a shot to the head. But like, kind of, like, It hurt. It looked like it hurt. I should wreck like missed the dodge. Like she had her hands up to kind of like catch it with her head, but didn't like cover her face with it. And so instead of hitting Rex's hands, Snow just brought the like edge of the chair down the top of Sawyer Rex's head, and like that had to hurt. And like, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if she's concussed. Kind of like how she kind of like pantomimed like right after that. But that was kind of gnarly. Rear naked choke, following with some stabbing with needles. I didn't point it out, but as part of the entrance, Snow brought it had like a mouthful of needles, like just held in her teeth, not puncturing through the cheek, though it did kind of look like that in the entrance. But she got him out for this part of the match and starts stabbing Wreck in the head with them, either sticking into her skull as Wreck fights back. We now have gusset plates in the party too, and this is where like I personally don't like watching gusset plates in a death match because they're just gnarly and they wreck your body up so bad. But they're headbutting gusset plates into each other, and like at one point it's just stuck in Snow's head as she's doing her moves. Get a Widowmaker 4-2, followed up by a Senton by two by Wreck. Snow counters a choke slam into a guillotine. Gets kicked into the door. Falcon Arrow, it's just closer to like a snowplow, a Northern Lights bomb, but commentary just like throughout all the names in general. Only gets a two count for whatever you want to call the move. However, that wraps things up quite nicely as Sawyer hits a choke bomb through a door to get the victory. Yeah, this match was all sorts of crazy too. This is kind of like our one death match for the night. So if you're not into some of the death match stylings, this match is not for you. As I said, like gusset plates kind of creep me out, just because like they do a lot of damage, and it's hard to I don't know, safely use a gusset plate proper because it just kind of goes into your skin and then just gets pulled out. But yeah, otherwise a solid match between the two of them. Again, not like outside of like the weapon spots, it's not quite as thrilling as some of the other matches we've seen up to this point, though. Again, nothing wrong with them, just I don't know, some fatigue setting in, but that's okay because are you ready? It is time for our main event of the evening as the former Maximum Male Models MXM Collection takes on Bussy or Bussy, however you choose to pronounce it. Mansoor and the former Dio Madden. I'm forgetting what he's giving his first name. Mason Madden taking on Effie and Alley Catch in our main event. And let me just tell you something right now, brother. Brother. If you don't like shtick, just go home. I mean, you should have gone home a long time ago, but this match is all the shtick and it was all wonderful. So let's talk about it. MXM get the mic. Madden introduces themselves properly. He does this like nice little introduction about like man candy and desert delights and whatnot, and then he's just like, "We got fired from the Fed for serving cunt." Just like, dude, WTF, matey? What was that? Like, he's like all in character, and then all of a sudden he's just like dropping these rando bombs in here, and it was hilarious. They do follow it up with a 5-minute pose. Like legit, they went like 2.5 minutes or so before Bussy like made their entrance, interrupting everything, which caused a temper tantrum from the Maximum Male Models. Also going into this, once Allie and Effie are in the ring, Effie is thoroughly entranced with the Maximum Male Models as they are removing their entrance attire. Like, Allie's trying to get him under control, trying to control that thirst with a modicum of success. She at least offers to start the match off first, so maybe they'll actually pick up a win or something. But yeah, lots of shtick going on here. Allie eventually catches Mansoor. He's starting with Allie with a giant atomic drop. And then drops him with a shoulder tackle. We get some arm drags. We got a brush out. Mansoor was brushing his chest hair, brushing his head hair. Allie gets the brush, and she's ready to comb her hair. Hands it off to Effie. He's combing his beard, and then, in the ultimate insult, combs his pubes before they brush Mansoor's hair with it, and he is flipping the fuck out, and possibly rightly so, because, I don't know where Effie's been. Who knows what he is hiding in those tights, man. It could be a veritable zoo down there for all I know. Either way, pandemonium run wild. We get a double atomic drop, and there's a giant ass bump off that one. He bounced 3 feet in the air just to land on his ass, knocked the wind out of me watching it. Double hip attack followed up by a double crotch attack. The Maximum Male Models have had enough. They're done with this. They try to leave, and Allie's like, no, we don't do this. She challenges it to a walk-off. And if there's one thing a model can't withstand, it is a challenge to a walk-off. So the Maximum Male Models walk the runway. Bussy walk the runway with the kicker. And the Maximum Male Models think this is cheating, but they ended their runway walk with the Fargo strut, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. At the big gay brunch, we have the Fargo strut. So at least that part of the match is won by Bussy. But before they can celebrate too much, they are attacked by from behind, and we get a long circumstance of the Maximum Male Models taking over and working the offensive. Madden is in. Shout outs to Summer Rae with the inverted leg drop bulldog. Two count for that. We get like the model strut around the ring while holding Allie Ketch in a headlock. That was all fun. Mansoor is brought in, gets a deep arm lock in there, begs not to be canceled because they need a job, but locks that in tight. We do get a Northern Lights suplex, Shades of Alicia Fox, two count off that. We get a side slam leg drop combo. Two count for that, too. Mansoor hits a flying nothing and gets DDT'd for his efforts. Hot tag. Effie is a house of fire. Double sack rider. Big boots in the corner. They go for the two gay power trip. That is countered. We get an axe kick heart attack by the MXM. Model elbow drop a la People's Elbow by Mansoor. Actually, he missed it because he took like 15 minutes like the Rockwood to get that thing going. Madden pert near kills Allie with hip attacks because, like, buns are tight. And, you know, what? Nothing really hurts more than a tight bun to the head. Like, pert near knocks her out. But Effie comes in to make the save, ready to go, ready and raring to go. Madden pulls up his tights to, you know, give us three-quarter moon or so, and goes for Effie's head, not realizing that is Effie waiting for him. Effie is going to eat all of Madden's ass. It takes the combined forces of Allie and Mansoor to pull him off of Madden's ass. So we do get a temporary alliance between the team of Bussy and the Maximum Models just to try to control Effie's thirst. Allie hits a hip attack and a big Samoan drop on Madden. Superman punch and a Michinoku driver only gets an interrupted two count. Effie escapes some tandem offense, gets a lip lock, modified lip lock, aka a kiss on Madden, a deep, deep romantic kiss. And just like the rest of society, should that happen to them, he is entranced by the sheer masculinity that is Effie. He stands there in a trance and gets rolled up for the three count. And that match was like half an hour of just craziness, just so much. Like, the Maximum Male Models are hilarious. Of course, Bussy has all sorts of their shtick into play too. They really hammed it up for this main event, and it was thoroughly entertaining and worth every minute of it. After the match, Effie puts over everybody, puts over the Maximum Models for being willing just to come out and do shows like the Big Gay Brunch. She calls it the Wild West, just coming out and just kind of doing whatever in this lawless land of independent wrestling, and really just, going wherever the money happens to be in the moment. He puts over Allie. Actually, like, he calls her his ride or die, and basically says that, like, she's too good to be doing this, and she needs, like, she should have a contract and be wrestling on national television every week, which I don't disagree with that assessment either. But also puts over the other three in the match, so the Maximum Models and Allie, because the night before at GCW Game Changer Wrestling, he had a match with Mance Warner and ended up requiring eight staples at the top of his head. As a result of that match, still wrestled at this event. Well, it's his namesake, so he had to wrestle. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But everybody covered for him, and he was really happy that he was able to work with a professional group of people that allowed him to take full advantage of the match and be a full participant, but still, like, save him a further abuse on his body, or at least the severely injured parts, aka the gash on the top of his head. And so, a great little go home speech. He's gonna go sell some merch until it's time to get out, because, people also need to go to the Rumpelstiltskin Rumble or whatever it is. Rumpelstiltskin Rumble, I believe, is what we're gonna call it for this here event. And that's gonna bring us home, baby. Said, like, I usually do smaller shows, but I really wanted to catch a Big Gay Brunch, and I was thoroughly entertained by it. As I said, there's at various points there's a lot of shtick, and there's some things that, like, I could see making people uncomfortable. And I don't mean like the good uncomfortable, but like some people don't handle sexual situations well, and there are a bunch of, well, sexual situations going into the show. And hopefully, just before reading any sort of rando show, you kind of do some of your research into it. But I feel like if you're going into a Big Gay Brunch, you kind of know what you're getting into. That being said, yeah, as I said, like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was thoroughly entertained by it all. And even, like, matches where I said they were kind of meh, I think it's just, again, just because there's so much going on that, like, things can just, you kind of get burnt out emotionally watching it. And so things just aren't as fresh and wonderful in your mind, even if there's, like, nothing wrong with the match. But again, like, Jay Vidal and Rico Gonzalez stole the show, and they just had a straightforward match. And of course, the main event was crazy as all get out. We had some deathmatch stuff, we had a crazy ass scramble, a little bit of everything for everyone, and it was great. And just like the people that came in and out of commentary, they had a rotating crew at the commentary desk featuring Alec Price and his Boston accent, Nick Gage, who was hilarious, and all sorts of good stuff on that too. So if you have Fight Plus or Triller Plus, check them out. Check all and can check out all the other Big Gay Brunches, go along with your subscription. And, as I said, like, I thought it was a lot of fun, and hopefully, you guys thought my review of it was a lot of fun too. So I've been talking for pretty near an hour at this point, so I think it's time to wind things down. I've moved past brunch. It's past supper time. Luckily, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, so maybe I'll just move from mimosas to vodka or something. I don't know. I'll go find a maid outfit, because we've unlocked one of the wife's new kinks or something of the like. But anyway, so I do appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tolerating some of this BS. Thanks to, like, Effie and performers like Effie who are going out there and making the wrestling world a more inclusive place. So otherwise, stay tuned for the best ways you can help support this here small podcast. Get the plugs in. Next week we will have more MLW action, real MLW action. So until then, I'll see you guys next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLWConfusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, where as for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, at comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.